This summer, I've been struck by the idea, and I've shared it in several sermons this summer, that someone might live their life being guided by a singular word. It came out of a novel I was reading. One of the characters lived his life that way. And I thought, if I were to do that, what words would I use? And I've thought of some. And then I was reading this week and discovered that someone, I don't know if he intended to live by this word, but he managed to get his name become the word, the equivalent of the word. He so lived this word. And this person was Herbert Hoover, who we know as the President of the United States. But before he was president, right after World War II, he was assigned to the, right after World War I, excuse me, he was assigned to the rehabilitation of Europe from the United States to help rebuild that war-ravaged continent. And he managed to do much to eliminate the scourge of war and all the destruction and rebuild the countries, so much so that in Finland, in particular, his name became synonymous with being kind and helpful. In fact, if you went to Finland after World War I and you did a kind act, they would say you did a Hoover. And I thought, wow, what would it be something if I were to be so something that they would use my name instead of the actual word? And I was thinking about that, particularly of kindness. I mean, think about what it means to be kind and what it would take to get the word, your name to be synonymous with kindness. It might take something like the story I heard years ago about a man who was driving in Wisconsin in winter on a country road, a kind of the back country, and somehow his tire blew out. So he had to creep over to the side of the road and get out and start changing a tire in sub-zero Wisconsin weather. It gets that cold up there, right? Some of you have been to Wisconsin, right? And there was a brisk wind going on, and so he was had the arduous task of changing that tire, made even more arduous by the condition of the weather. And as he was trying to get that tire off, a car stopped on the other side of the road, and out an elderly woman got out of that car. And he wondered, this man wondered, and says, well, what's this woman going to do? She looks so frail. You know, how's she going to help me out? And the woman came up behind this man. And this man was not wearing a hat. And this woman took her warm gloves and placed them on his ears while he was changing the tire. And she said, I saw you there changing the tires without a hat on, and your ears looked so cold that I just had to come over and warm them up. Is that something one might do to get their name synonymous with kindness? Maybe your name would be synonymous with kindness would be the example of Abraham Lincoln did. Lincoln, during those long war years, made it his habit during the Civil War to go visit the hospitals, and particularly the soldiers in the hospitals, from time to time while he was president. And the story goes that one time he approached a man, young soldier, who was very near death, but still alert. And Lincoln said to the man, is there anything I can do for you? And the man, not recognizing that it was the president, said, well, could you write a letter to my mother and father? And so Lincoln said he could do this, and he found a paper and a pen and some ink and sat down and, what do you want me to say? And the young man said, dear mom and dad, the doctors tell me I don't have long to live, and I'll be going to see my maker soon, but don't be too sorrowful for me. He said, give John and Mary a kiss, yours. And he was so feeble, he couldn't finish it. So Lincoln finished it, yours, and wrote the soldier's name. And then underneath it, he wrote, written on behalf of by Abraham Lincoln. And he showed it to the soldier to read it, and the soldier said feebly, "You're the president? Why are you doing this?" And the president said, "It's because what you did for this country. Is there anything else I can do?" Now, mind you, this is when he was president of the United States, and he said, the soldier said, "Well, if you could hold my hand, it may make these last moments go easier." So Lincoln sat next to him and held his hand until death claimed this man. And I have to wonder, does that earn one the right to claim kindness as a guide for life? Our Bible has a story, the Old Testament lesson that Elaine read this morning, of another leader who lived by the creed of kindness. David assumed the throne. Saul, the previous king, had died. And in the ancient world, one of the things you did if you became king is you eliminated your rivals. Think of King Herod when he heard that the king of the Jews was born in Bethlehem. He sent his soldiers to eliminate the children under 2 years old. Well, David had the opportunity to do that, but David chose a different path. He went to the household of Saul and said, "Is there any in Saul's family to whom I can show kindness?" That was a radical concept. You see, a king's offspring, his descendants, even grandchildren, could rise up and claim the throne. But David said, "Is there anyone to whom I can show kindness?" And there was a grandson of Saul, who, as the Bible said, had crippled feet. And he gave this grandson a place of honor in his palace and a place at his table for every meal. Again, a radical concept in that day and in that time. But kindness was part of David's makeup. One has to ask the question, what does one do to establish kindness, to earn the right to have one's name synonymous with kindness? I read a story recently about a woman who was a runner. She ran with a running club through her work. Ran after work as a big group, as kind of trained together and socialized together. Well, this woman got pregnant, and she wanted to keep running through her pregnancy, but as her pregnancy went along, she found it harder and harder to keep up. But what she noticed was two of the other runners were running at her pace, even as the rest of the group got further and further ahead. Those two runners would do this every time this woman, whose name was Kristen, went out. They would stay back and run with her. They never said a word about it. They just set their pace. And when Kristen had to stop and walk from time to time to catch her breath, they would stop too, chat with her. The woman wrote that the kindness of these two people was what allowed her to keep running and to stay in shape during her pregnancy. So maybe it's a simple act of kindness rather than a dramatic act of kindness. What kindness is as a guidance is not always easy to tell, is it? What makes someone kind? What makes an act kind? It's hard to come up with a definition, and yet we know it when we see it. It somehow involves goodness, it involves caring, involves compassion. In the New Testament, the word for kindness is krestos, which at its root means usefulness. In the New Testament, kindness is more than just an attitude or a way of thinking. It is an action. It is something useful. It becomes second nature, or as it becomes second nature to us, it needs it becomes part of who we are and what we do. But until it becomes second nature, it needs to be an intentional action. And for us to get better at it, we need to practice it intentionally. Be kind. Kindness is something that we can work at. To be kind, it helps first to be sensitive. Kind people are aware of those around them. They're sensitive to the needs of people around them. They see that something is not right, like the woman driving along the road, seeing the man didn't have a hat. She didn't have a hat to give him, so she put her hands over her ears. An intentional, useful act. But one has to see the opportunity and thus be sensitive to it. And I'll tell you something, folks. Everybody needs kindness in one form or another. Everybody you meet in the store, that neighbor across the street or across the hallway, they need kindness. The person sitting next to you in the pew or up in the balcony or over here, over there, they need kindness too. So there's always an opportunity to be kind and do something kind. One needs to be sensitive to the environment. One needs to be supportive as well. Kindness has an element of supporting people in their time. You know, when I do confirmation class, I set up class rules, you know, like no talking when I'm talking. That's number one. A couple of those, Chris. But number five is maybe just as important. I say no put-downs allowed. Okay. And we talk about each of these rules. When I get to that one, I say, instead of putting down, when you just get that urge, I want you to say something that builds somebody up. And of course, our guide for that is the passage you read from Ephesians. Words that build up, not put down. And I hope in confirmation classes that there is an element of caring, of kindness that builds up when we work on building up each other rather than putting down. Think about it. If you were to go here day to day and build somebody up, so easy to put down, but to build someone up, act as supportive. Sometimes support is not in the form of words, but in the form of action. I think of my story about President Lincoln. What can I do for you? You can hold my hand. You can hold my hand. Be there to support me through what is about to happen. Kindness comes in something that supports us, support others in what they need. So we need to be sensitive to what they need and then support. Another aspect of kindness is sympathy. If we're going to be kind, we have to be sympathetic. And that way, not only be aware of what they do, but enter into the experience they need. We think of it certainly when someone is grieving. Somebody says, what should I say to somebody when they're grieving? Sometimes saying nothing is enough. Just being present. Paul in the book of Romans said, rejoice when others rejoice, weep when others weep. That is the role of the Christian, to rejoice when someone's to share their joy, to not be jealous of it or put it down, but to celebrate a joy and then to weep when they weep, to enter into the sadness of someone else and share it with them and understand it. So there's an element of sympathy, to enter into empathy if one is going to be kind. And finally, if one is going to be kind, one has to be, lack of a better word, spontaneous, flexible, opportunistic. So often our opportunity to be kind comes as a surprise to us as well as someone else. That's not to say we can't intentionally have acts of kindness, but there's times when they just appear in front of us. I think of the story of the Good Samaritan. Okay, the Samaritan was just walking along the road. He had business to do elsewhere, but he sees an injured person along the road and he goes and helps them. An element of spontaneity that the Levite and the priest, if you remember that story, did not seem to have in them, although I'm sure they were kind people. But the Samaritan did. The Samaritan found it's time to let go of whatever was going on in his life at that moment and concentrate on the needs of this person in kindness. And so it is for us as well to be aware of the needs of others, to enter into the others, to be supportive, and to do it when the need is there and we see the opportunity, and most of all, for it to be an action. Now, I don't know if you work hard on being kind this week, if we will rename kindness as, you know, Cameron or Foley. I did a Foley this week, maybe. I don't know. Maybe if you go to Finland and do an act of kindness, they'll say, hey, you did a Hoover. But I do know that when you do an act of kindness, and you make kindness your focus, you will be blessed even as you bless others. Amen.